Book of Titus. This morning we're going to show and teach on the title here behind me on the board, God Cannot Lie. And I told you I was going to try to show you some stuff here. Hopefully it'll help you out. Hopefully it'll help you. If you've ever doubted your salvation, you leave here today, you should never doubt it again. The way we're going to show this. And that is, if you have believed, how that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day for your justification, and you have trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone for your salvation as your Savior, then you're saved. Amen. That's that simple, okay? All right. Before we start in the text here in Titus chapter 1, let's pray, and then we'll do that, and we'll begin the teaching. Father, we're so grateful for another day of life, another day in which you've given us, and we're thankful for your grace, your long suffering. So thankful for the Word of God, rightly divided. So thankful for the fellowship. Thankful for all that's come this morning to study your Word with us. And we pray that you'll just help us, Lord, to gain light and to edify this body that you have made in Christ Jesus. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory for all that you did by, through, and in Jesus Christ for our salvation, for our eternity. We'll give you that praise and that honor and that glory to you only. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, and Titus in chapter 1, looking at verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. All right, go back and look at verse 2, because this is the verse we're going to use to show what we're going to show. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Who did God promise that to?
Paul
wasn't there before the world began.
Himself.
That's right. The angels. Wasn't the angels. Wasn't Paul. Wasn't Adam. God made a promise in eternity past to himself that there was going to be a time when he would come. He would come and he would give unto us his very own life. All right? Look at Colossians chapter 3. We're going to use that one verse to go and look at some more verses in different books. But watch verse or chapter 3 of Colossians here. So, in eternity past, the Godhead, before man was, God had a secret, a mystery within himself that he promised himself. And said, I cannot lie. I promised it in eternity past. I have to bring it about. Otherwise, he'd be what? He'd be a liar. He's not a liar. We know who the liar is, right? It's the devil and all of us sitting in this room, but it ain't God, right? Now watch what he says here in chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ... And I read that kind of like this. Since you are risen with Christ, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Watch. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So God, who cannot lie, said in eternity past, one day I will be their life. And look, watch verse 3. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ. Where at? Where's the mystery at today? It's still in God. The mystery is truly still in Christ, in God. You can't get it without being there. We want to sometimes ask, why don't people see the mystery? Because many of them are not in Christ. And we're preaching to a bunch of dead, lost people about the mystery, and we're wondering, why in the world can't they see it? And I'm not telling you that's everybody. Okay? Some people are just religious up. They're just saturated with religion and traditions of men. But in some cases, we're preaching and teaching to people who are not in Christ, so therefore the mystery is still hidden because it's in Christ. You don't get it without being in Christ. So God, before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, before there was an Adam, before there was an Eve, before there was a David, before there was a Paul, before there was a Moses, He made a promise that He was going to give us His life. Okay? So that's extremely important that we understand that. Go back and look at Titus again. Now, he gives this message and commits the preaching of this message to whom? Paul. Okay? But it was way before Paul. Right? This message was in God. Okay? And he revealed this message to Paul. When I say that this message was in Paul and that's been committed unto Paul, it's eternal life to us folks. Eternal life to us who were not of the commonwealth of Israel. Not part of God's reconciliation plan for the earth, but for the heavens. That's the mystery. That's the secret. That's the thing that God made a promise there, that eternal life, that would be our hope. It's not a hope so. I hope I have eternal life. It's not I hope I'm going to heaven. The hope is what? That anticipation of waiting and watching as our glorious Savior appears. Look at Titus chapter 2. And this is upon all men. This is not... we're going to use a word today that only Paul uses in Scripture. It's called predestinated. And there's been so much harm and mess made out of predestination that people will look at that as individuals. God predestined my daughter to go to heaven and my son to go to hell. That's not what the Scripture is saying at all. Okay? It's not what it's saying at all. Because this verse would be null and void if that were the case. What's here in 2 and 11 of Titus? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, bringeth hope, have appeared unto what?
All men.
A-L-L. It's appeared to all men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly. That means our minds should be fixed and sober about the Word of God. All right? Sober and righteously and godly in this present world. Now watch verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's people who say that Jesus is not God in the flesh. Look at verse 13 again. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God is our Savior. Right? Jesus Christ is God in the flesh that came and died on the cross. He died as a man, but He went there as God in the flesh. Amen? Had He not been man, He could not have been nailed to the cross. Had He not been God, He could have not died for your sins. That's the promise that God Almighty made in eternity past. What man cannot do and will not be able to do, I promise myself that I will do. I will take on human flesh. I will go to a cross. I will die. I will resurrect. I will ascend. And to anybody that will believe that, I will give unto them my life. What type of life does God have? Only one. Eternal life. So if you can get it and lose it, you didn't have it. Right? God only deals in eternal life. Right? In eternity past, He made a promise. And the promise wasn't to give you a better day, more money, better health, but to give unto you the hope of eternal life. So that when you believe the gospel, you're placed into Jesus Christ, you receive that life the moment you believe. Now that's hard for some people to wrap their mind around eternal security. But listen, you're either eternally secure or you're doing something to secure yourself. If you're doing something to secure yourself, that annuls the promise that God made in eternity past. You weren't there. He didn't need you then to validate Him. He don't need you today to validate Him. He's God. And when He made that promise to say what he would do in giving us eternal life, it hinged not on what we would do, how well we could do it, but what he had promised himself. Right? So when you see that, I think then some verses in the Bible begin to open up to us. Go over and look at Ephesians. And look at chapter 1. I'm not going to use the board today as far as diagrams and all that and drawing charts, but I want you to see this about Ephesians 1. It'd be good for you to understand this. In Ephesians 1, and this popped off the page to me the other night as I was studying this in lieu of Titus chapter 1. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, and really in general Ephesians, you're going to have something. You're going to have position. You're going to have purpose. You're going to have predestined. And you're going to have power. And here is the whole kicking thing about it. This is what makes it what it really is. It's according to God's will and purpose for the body of Christ. When you read this, you're going to see it. Six times he uses the word purpose. 10 times he uses the word in him or in Christ. All right? So when you come to Ephesians chapter 1, the first thing you got to understand is what? Who's the audience? Watch the audience in chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful, where at? All right? So the whole thing hinges on what? In Christ. That never changes in all that book. When you read all of chapter 1 of Ephesians, it's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's in whom? It's in Christ. It's in whom? Right? So if you add that verse to it, it's actually 11 times. But 10 times, he gives the position of in him. In according, when you read according, he uses that like 6 times. Okay? So watch this. Study the Bible with the light of what I told you, that God cannot lie. He made a promise in eternity past. Now come back and look at Ephesians in chapter 1. Look at the position here. Look at 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. See that? Do you have spiritual blessings if you're not in Christ? No, you don't. All right, look at the next position. Look at number 4. According as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame for before him in love. Look, according as he has chosen us in who? In Christ. See that? It hinges on being in Christ. All right? God, before the world, you see this? According, he had chosen us before the foundation of the world. He had this spiritual man, this one new man in him that he promised to reveal. That's the promise that God made. That God in himself was going to save mankind without any works that he could do of his own, but by believing that Christ died for their sins, buried and rose again the third day for their justification. He is going to give them that eternal life. He formed this in himself before the foundation of the world. Can you see that? According as he have chosen us in him. Some people read that backwards. He's chosen us in him. If we're in him, we're what? We're chosen. See that? We are chosen. It's God's will that we were predestined to be the children of God. Right? It's God's will that all men out there be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Right? Is God holding back anybody from being saved today? No, what's holding man back from being saved today is faith and believing what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. That's what's keeping people from being saved. All right? Because God, who cannot lie, had already promised eternal hope. Right? Eternal life. He'd already promised it. He's not holding it back from anybody. Okay? And some people want to act as if God is. That some people get a hold of these verses and say, that group over there, they're going to heaven because they couldn't help it. If they didn't want to go, they're going anyway. And that group over there can't do anything. They're going to hell regardless of what it is. They're going to hell. That's the way God made it. No, that's not the way God made it. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Paul said he gave a ransom for all, right? So to in the dispensation of the grace of God, anybody that will believe the gospel of their salvation, trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, can be saved. Regardless of where they've been, how much of it they've done. All right? They can be saved. God cannot lie. Now watch. Look at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. All right? Continue to watch. Watch verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in Christ. Accepted. You read, people say it all the time, you need to accept Jesus as your Savior. No, what you need to do is be accepted by Jesus. How do you get accepted by Jesus? Believe the gospel of your salvation, and you're accepted in the Beloved. Jesus is not a friend sitting at a computer on Facebook sending you a friend request. Will you accept me? That's not Jesus. Jesus is God Almighty who died for your sins. All the work's been done. And He is saying, will you receive me by faith? If so, you're accepted. Right? You want to be accepted. People want to work to be accepted. Right? All right, now look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. In whom? See that? In whom do we have it? In Christ. Okay, it all hinges on being in Christ. Here's the whole thing about what I wanted to show you with Titus. When God made that promise unto Himself, God was showing now, when we see Ephesians, He's showing now to those who are in Christ, they're secure. Right? They are now predestined. You know what that means, right? Destination. Right? Their destination is fixed. It cannot be changed. God, what does the word pre mean? Right? Before. What did He say back there? Before the world was, right? God has brought this to light that predestined, we have a destination that had already been pre-fixed, predetermined in God before the world was. That when we believe, our destination is sure. Here's a verse that I thought about, and we use this a lot of times in here to show a point, but let me show you another point about that thing. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, and we use this verse a lot to show it for a different purpose, but I want to show it to you for this purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Watch the next part of this verse. Which God ordained when? Eternity past, right? Where was that thing at? It was hidden in God's, what the verse says. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. God's hidden wisdom about the church, the body of Christ, was hidden in eternity past, right? And Paul now says, we're speaking that hidden wisdom unto whose glory? Our glory. Those of us who have received Christ by faith. You see that? We use that verse for another, but that's a predestination verse. That's something that was pre-done before the foundation of the world. You see that? And now God's making it known through the Apostle Paul. And God cannot lie. You know? So what if a man don't believe this truth? What does the Bible say in Romans 3 and 4? They don't believe what make the teachings and the faith of God without effect? Absolutely not. What does it do? Let every man be a liar, but let God be what? True, right? It doesn't change one thing if people don't believe this book. If people don't believe what we're preaching and teaching about grace and that Paul's our apostle and you have to rightly divide the word of truth, that will not change God's mind whatsoever. He predetermined that this was going to be the way. Right? It doesn't matter if they agree with us that the body of Christ is going to fill up the heavens and Israel's going to fill up the kingdom over there. If they don't agree with us, it don't bother me whatsoever that they want to fight it, because you're not fighting me. You're fighting something that God promised Himself before the world was. Good luck on winning that battle. Right? Can you understand that? Can you see that? To me, it helps the book come to life. And what it does, it assures me that my salvation is not the issue today. Justification is over. It's done. Okay? I'm justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I'd always been righteous. Just as if I'd never, ever, one day in my life, broken anything that God said, do not do. I'm justified in the sight of God. My life is hid with Christ in God. Amen? People have a hard time receiving that type of truth because they believe that God is following your flesh. He's accounting something to your flesh, and what you do, good and bad, that's how God's going to weigh it all out. No, the scales and the weight were done in eternity past. When God made that promise, it wasn't about what you and I could ever do. Right? Or what we would do or what we wouldn't do. It's about what God had promised. And God cannot lie. God in eternity past promised Donnie Holt eternal life. Amen. Now, I don't know that without Paul, because God revealed that life to me through Paul. Right? Now, is it my promise now? Yeah, it's my hope now. That's what Paul's talking about, that glorious hope, right? But the promise ain't based on me, how I perform. It's based on what God promised Himself. You see that? Is that what the Scripture says? See, many people read that verse exactly the way I read that verse for many years. God, who cannot lie, He made a promise. Well, who did He promise to? He promised me. No, He promised Himself. That's God one day in eternity. And there wasn't a day in eternity, by the way, past. Okay, it wasn't time. There's no time back there. But God said, I'll do it. This is what I'm going to do. Can you change that? Can your actions change that? Can your bad attitude when somebody pulls out here in traffic in front of you today on the way home, can that change it?
No.
Nah. Right? If you write down cuss words on a piece of paper and hold them up in the windshield of that guy, it ain't going to change what God Almighty did in eternity past. Don't educate you to do so, right? But I'm telling you, you're not going to change God's mind on what He already promised before the world was. And it ain't got nothing to do with how good you are. And if it did, none of us would have it. Why? Because He said none of you are good, right? If you had to be pretty, none of y'all would get it. I'd be the only one going. And I'm glad it ain't based on that, because I don't want to go by myself. All right? Look at 1:10 of Ephesians, 1:10. What I want to scream out to you here as we get ready to wrap all this up, I want you to have that position in Christ, in Jesus, in whom? In Him. Do you understand? It's not about me, not about you. It's in Him. In Him. You got to get that in your head, man. When you get it about being in Him, what is there any sin in Christ?
No.
Am I sinless in Christ?
Yes.
You betcha. Am I sinless in this flesh? Absolutely not. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 7 that we had to die in order, what? That we might be married to another. You know who you're married to in this life? This stinking, rotten flesh. Right? And Paul said you need to die to that so you can be married to another. Whose flesh am I now? The Bible tells me clearly in Ephesians 5:30 that I'm bone of His bone and I'm flesh of His flesh. I'm married to another flesh now. My life is hid with Christ in God. That's what God said I'll do in eternity past. And we just fail to believe Him. We just act like some preacher, some pastor's all glorious and holy, and that's the guy to follow. You'll get by an old brother so-and-so. He's the man. He's a rotten sinner like you and I are. That's what he is, right? You know, and some people don't like real people. If you're real, man, I'd be honest with you, I'm the same at work as I am here. They call me the funny guy at work, right? I just have a good time. I don't go in there and tighten up my collar and put a white piece here and it's backwards so people think I'm somebody. I don't do none of that business. I'm the same guy at work. Tyler worked with me for 7 years. He'll tell you I'm the same guy at work as I am here. I'm the same guy at home as I am here. Some people just don't like real people. They'd rather have some guy show up in a leisure suit you know, polyester all shiny. And he said, that makes him right. You know? What I'm wearing don't make me right. What makes me right is being in Christ. You see this thing? Look at 1:11. In whom, watch, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In whom? Christ. You see this? In Him. That position, what? It's position. It's God's purpose, predestinated. God said, look, it's fixed, it's done. I promised before the foundation of the world, you can't miss out. Now, Arminius say, no, you can lose it. Well, if you can lose it, it wasn't eternal life. He didn't give you eternal life if you can lose it. He gave you probation. Right? You do good, it'll be there for you. You don't do good, I'll take it back. Would that be a free gift?
No,
it wouldn't be a free gift. If you could, if God could take your salvation back because you were ugly, because you were mean, because you did something wrong, He never gave it to you because you're all ugly, all mean, you're all wrong. We've already determined that, right? How would He ever give free salvation to somebody that's no good? He gives it because they believe Him. And I don't, if it makes the world mad, I believe God. Okay? I believe that He, in eternity past, made a promise unto Himself that those who are in Christ Jesus are sealed. Amen. Until the day of redemption. Now, you can go out here and teach this thing, well, if you ain't doing a certain amount of work, then you didn't get it. You can talk all that garbage you want to talk. That's just a way around the truth of what God has said. Right? So what, a guy out here ain't acting right today? If he's in Christ, he's where? He's in Christ. Pray for him. Don't run him down because it could be you. Right? Don't look down your nose at somebody that's struggling out there in that life that may have received Christ 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Maybe they've never gone to a church in their life. If most of the places around here would be better off. Amen? I mean, y'all, just be real, right? They go over here and get all sheeped up. Next thing you know, they have wool growing on their back. Right? They'll be over here eating sheep food if you ain't careful. Why? Because that's all they teach them, man. They don't know the Word of God rightly divided. All of us got the same testimony. We come out from under that stuff, didn't we? Amen. And who's happy to be under grace? Well, I sure ain't giving it back. Y'all can do whatever you want. I ain't giving up my grace, man. You can sit here and say law of mind all you want. And I'm going to point you to these books right here and tell you I'm in Christ. And where I'm in Christ, I am dead, but Christ liveth in me. And it's not my life, but it's His. You see that? We act like God saved us on the merit of our life sometime. No. If He saved you on the merit of your life, you wouldn't be saved. Amen. You have no merit. He saves you on the merit of the cross. How He died for your sins. You know what that means? You was a sinner. You had sin. You know what you still got? Sin. You know what you are to the flesh? Sinner. How's a bunch of sinners going to go to heaven? Because God promised before the world was that He was going to take them if they'll believe Him. Oh, you thought it was just going to be those pretty people wearing red lipstick and dressed up and they said everything just right and all that. No, that's going to be the people populating hell. I'd be the best smelling one down there. I don't smell like fire. Smell me. Now, that's the type of people, brother, that we run around and we get in these religious institutions. They're the best looking thing that's going to be sitting in hell one day. I don't want to be the best looking thing in hell. I want to be right with God. I want His righteousness, and I want to go to heaven when He comes. And I'm going. Now, the devil don't like that. My neighbors don't like that. There ain't no way a guy like you's going. Well, bless God, you better read this book again. Because that's exactly the ones he's taking. Okay? And they're going to be left. They can have church the following Sunday. I'm gone, brother. Look here. Watch, here's the next one. Look at 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in who? Christ. Look at verse 13. In whom? See how it starts off? In whom? It's all about Jesus Christ, man. It's about in Christ, is it not? Have you seen anything to tell you any different? Look at verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in what? In the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for making mention of you in my prayers. How strong is that? Go back and look at that predestined thing. Look at verse 1:5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. According to the good pleasure of whose will?
His will.
His will. Look, we use this verse for a different reason sometime too. Look at 2:10. Look at 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. Watch this. God was at work in eternity past, man, before you were ever thought of. Before Paul was ever thought of, before Adam was even brought about. Watch what he does. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God, watch, which God had before ordained that we should walk in it. When did He ordain it? Before the world was, man, to our glory. You see that? Created in Christ Jesus. God created this church, this body of Christ, held it a secret, but He created that church, that body of Christ, to fill up the heavens before the world was. Before. You need to understand that. Before the world was. Now, when you read Romans 16:25, it'll start to make sense to you. That which Paul's preaching is what? It's been kept secret since the world began. Whoa, right? Secret since the world began, but God knew it in time past, when there wasn't any time, in eternity past, God knew it already. It was in God. It was hid in God. And then He reveals it to Paul. Now you and I are getting it. Isn't it amazing how God works? Right? You want to know why people don't get it? They don't believe God. God says, that's fine. You can play religion all you want. Until you start believing Me and My word, you can just stay out there in that dark spot that you've been in and be like many who go to their deathbed not knowing which way they're going. I am not bragging on anybody except Jesus. But if I die before I get home today, folks, y'all can rest assured, I've believed this gospel. I believe this book. Amen? I have comfort knowing that my blessed hope is going to appear one day, and I'm going to appear with Him. Now, that ain't bragging on me, because if it's on me, I got news for you. I'll be in hell with gasoline britches. That ain't on me. It's on Him. Ain't? That's where we're at with this thing. All right, so you see that. We've got a few more verses we're going to look at, and then we're going to shut down. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 17. So we see our position, and we see it's according to what? God's purpose. Okay? God's purpose. He's predestinated us. How did God do it? We say God made that promise in time past or eternity past. Let me quit saying the word time because God don't live in time. We do. But He said in eternity past. Look at 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know, watch this word again, what is the hope of His calling. And what the riches of glory of His inheritance in the saints. Watch. And what is exceeding greatness, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe, watch, according to the working of what? Whose mighty power? His mighty power. Now watch this. Which He wrought, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in the heavenly places. You see that? Look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His what? His power. Everything in those verses is all God doing. All God done. All He's asked you to do is to believe. Can you see that? Can that get any simpler? Oh, well, if you don't do this, you don't do that. Nah, whatever, man. I live like that forever. You know what I found out? Have you ever run on a treadmill? Did you get anywhere? Right. When you got done, you was where? Right where you started. So now, when they tell me to get on a treadmill for an hour, I get the pillow and I lay on it for an hour. Amen? I spend my time on the treadmill asleep. This idea of running in place constantly, think you're going to get somewhere is what religion does to you, man.
Right.
It's like a hamster on a wheel. He wears himself out. When he gets done, he's like, hey, wait a minute. I'm on the same wheel. I ain't got nowhere. That's what religion does to you. When you get down into this scripture and these words and you start to see this thing about your position in Christ, what God had promised before the world was, man, it'll do something for your spiritual man, will it not? Will that not edify you? You leave here today and going, Lord, I wonder if I'm saved or I'm not saved. There ain't but one reason why you're not saved. Because you ain't believed the Savior. You either got Him or you don't. Right? How do I get Him? We tell you every week. Believe that He died for your sin. Personally. Believe that. Trust that. I ain't talking about no head knowledge. Well, I saw that on TV one time. I'm talking about believe it. You didn't need to know you're a sinner. Right? Law tells you you're a sinner. Now believe. Okay? Hell is not full of people who Jesus Christ rejected. Hell is full of people who rejected Jesus Christ. Amen? He's made it simple enough. Watch the rest of these verses. He set him in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that is to come. And I put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let me show you how powerful that is. Where's Jesus in those verses? In the heavenly places, at the right hand of God. Where's the new man? Where's the spiritual you? In Jesus Christ. Here with Christ and God. So guess what? Spiritually, you're way above all that stuff. All that stuff is beneath you. But you know what we do with that stuff? We make it carnal and flesh, and we show up for every fight we get invited to. We show up for the flesh. The flesh wants to battle today. What are we going to do? We're going to battle the flesh. You need to realize who you are in Christ. In heavenly places. God's already promised it. God's already done it. Spiritually speaking, that's where you're at. Now, physically speaking, you're down here with me. You're probably going to go to work tomorrow, which I despise. But I'm going. Good Lord willing, right? And you know what? And if the rapture were to happen on a Sunday night, it would just tickle me, pink. So when those guys that weren't saved showed up tomorrow to do that business down there, they'd be like, where is he at? I would not have to show up for that Monday. I thank God that one day it's going to happen, brother. Now, I might be 6 foot under, but when he comes, that just means I'm going before y'all if y'all still here. See? That's what the Bible teaches that. All right? So, and finishing off this morning, I want to show you those verses that I think that understanding what God had promised in eternity past and now is revealed to Paul. And it wasn't Paul's a promise that he made to Paul, obviously, eternity past, okay? But it's what he revealed to Paul that he promised himself. Look at the familiar verses. Look at Romans 16:25. Man, y'all getting off light. It's only 37 minutes. I'm going to run some more scripture. Look at chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. See that? It was in God, but it had been kept secret since the world began. Does what we taught this morning out of Titus make that make more sense? Right? God had already promised it, but it was hid in God. Right? So there's no way that Peter's preaching the same thing as Paul's preaching if it was hid in God till God gave it to Paul. Amen? That makes sense, don't it? Hey, I didn't graduate the top of the class, but I can tell you one thing, that makes sense to me. No way Peter had it before Paul, if Paul said it had been kept secret, right? All right, now look at Ephesians in chapter 3. Look at verse 2. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, other times, was not made known unto the sons of men, people, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. What? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. How? By the gospel. What gospel? Paul's gospel that was given unto him. Can you see that? Can you see that something back in the Old Testament scriptures, back before Paul, still had not been revealed, but now has been revealed to Paul? Right? So, what God promised eternity past, he's now shown to Paul. Now watch Colossians chapter 1. I know y'all don't feel this way, but when I was in the religious church, if someone had taken the Bible and shown it to me like this, I'd have stayed with them all day. I'd have said, hold on, sir, let me go get us some lunch. I'll be right back. Yep. And we'd have ate and just kept on going. Amen. But you know what I got back then, man? Yeah. I got 30 minutes of singing, hallelujahs, yep, people flopping like fish out of water, yep, and about a 10-minute sermonette, yep, on about how bad I was. Like I didn't know that. That's why I came, man. I'm bad. You going to run me off, tell me how bad I am? Right? Did you ever have that? You went to the doctor to get better and the doctor threw you out. Look here at 1 and 25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even a mystery, watch, which have been hid from ages and from generations that now is made what? Made manifest. What is that mystery? Oh, I don't know. Look at verse 27. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In eternity past, God says, I'm going to be in those Gentiles. The hope of glory. I'm going to be in those Gentiles. You ain't going up if you don't have Him in you. Right? The Spirit of God that raised Christ is going to also raise you up. In closing this morning, look at Romans chapter 8. I wasn't going to do this, but since I've done so well at keeping Kim under 45 minutes with this video, I'm going to do it. Thank you, Kim. I'm going to let y'all go home and study these. You can go home and study these verses for all week. Man, this would be a great Bible study for you. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called, what? According to what? His purpose. And that ain't, he didn't give you a headache so you could go to CVS today and so you could bump into somebody and get them saved. That ain't what he's talking about. Right? He's talking about this plan that was in eternity past. All things are going to work together good for God to carry out that plan by and through the church, the body of Christ. That's what that's talking about. We look at it as temporary things, right? Tire blew out and the guy stopped and gave me $1,000 and I bought four tires instead of one and that's all worked out for me. That's not what he's talking about, folks. Okay, watch, 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did what? Predestinate. To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among what? Many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Everybody in the church, the body of Christ, that applies to you. Right? That's God's spiritual body. Do you see anything in there that you need to do to make it work?
No.
He made it all work.
Yeah.
From eternity past to right on out till he takes us out of here. He's made it all work. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, many people can be against us in this life, but not on the spiritual end of things. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All right? Verse 38. Now I know why Paul could be so persuaded. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because if it could, it would make God a liar. And God cannot lie. He promised it to himself, and that, my friend, is settled for everybody that's in Jesus Christ. You cannot be separated. Right? Paul looks at all realm. This life, he looks at the realm of death, he looks at the realm of the angelic powers, he looks at the realm of the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, he looks at all realm, and he says, there's nothing that can separate me. Why? Because God before ordained it unto my glory. Does that make sense to you?
Amen.
So Titus helped me with that when I read that. It's something that God promised to God, the Godhead. All right? If everybody's good with that, we'll close up today. And once we go off camera, we'll ask a question and answer a question if anybody's got one. Father, we're so thankful and so grateful for another day. Thankful for the Word of God. Thankful, Lord, for the truth of the Word of God, rightly divided. Thank you for everyone who come out today, Lord, to be a part of it. We give you all the praise, all the thanks, all the honor, and all the glory. In the loving name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we do pray, and everyone said, amen. All right.